All right, guys, welcome back to episode 16 of Primal Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour, here with your host, Chris Story. So, before we get started with today's episode, guys, as per usual, a few things to touch base on. I'm going to get this one over and done with as quickly as I can so we can get on with today's episode, because it is a fucking shit hot episode. Really enjoyed this one. So yeah, before we start, guys, let's touch base. First off, thank you. Thank you again for all the kind words and encouragement you guys have been giving me behind the scenes with the comments that you've been giving me on iTunes, on Instagram, on YouTube, and just all the support in general to do with this podcast. Like, it really does mean the world to me. Anything that you can say, any feedback that you can give, really does help me make this podcast better for you guys, better for myself. It's all a learning experience for me so far, and I just want to get some feedback off you guys. So please drop me a review on iTunes. iTunes really is the main one, guys, for being able to increase my visibility and my ability to get this podcast out to a much wider audience. It's something to do with iTunes and the amount of reviews they get on a certain podcast that gives you the ability to sort of really get seen in the charts and really just enables me to get the message out to more people. And as a massive thank you, you get an exclusive 10% discount code REDPILL. That's the code REDPILL that, when applied to the discount code section in checkout, you're getting an exclusive 10% discount at primalalchemy.co.uk. Perfect opportunity, guys, for you to pick up Vitruvian Protein. That's our flagship protein superfood powder, the only supplement in the world to be certified organic by the Soil Association, keto certified, paleo certified, made exclusively here in the UK. I source all the ingredients myself. You get full label disclosure, you get ingredient traceability, you get a charity donations, a percentage of each sale goes towards some real hard-working charities really close to my heart, that their visions really align with mine, and really wanted to help support them through giving what I can from a percentage of the sales of the Vitruvian Protein. So every purchase makes a difference, guys, for myself and for these charities that are working hard to change the world for the better. So yeah, check it out, primalalchemy.co.uk, code REDPILL, get your 10% off. See what the hype's saying about the Vitruvian Protein. Empower yourself, save yourself, save the world. All right, so moving on to today's episode. Episode 16 with Mr. Matt Maruka. Now, Matt is an interesting character. You're going to find out why when you listen to the episode. Really sound lad. He's only 19. Only 19, but he is a wealth of knowledge. He is tutored by one of the great minds alive today in the, whatever you want to call it, the biohacking, the health optimization scene, whatever term you want to attach to it. But yeah, he's tutored by Dr. Jack Kruse, who is a neurosurgeon based out in New Orleans, I believe. But he's one of the forefathers of this new movement of quantum health, quantum biology. And Matt is fortunate that he is being able to get in tight with him, and he is really soaking up Dr. Jack Kruse's knowledge as a sponge. And yeah, we really go over a lot of that today. We go over the damaging effects of blue light. We look at how electromagnetism, light, water affect us on a cellular level, and how to optimize ourselves using these quantum health protocols. And Matt has, not only is Matt 19 and switched on, he owns his own business of Ra Optics, which you guys may be aware of. They create real dope blue light blocking glasses, real high quality, some of the best on the market. And Matt is also starting his own personal brand called The Light Diet, which is really about him branding the knowledge of Dr. Jack Kruse and Matt's own personal experience with self-experimentation using these protocols. So we cover a lot of that in the episode. Now, I just want to give you a little bit of warning before we start. Matt was out in Mexico at the time while recording this, and we ran into a few difficulties to do with the signal strength, and there's a lot of distortion here and there, so I'm hoping that it's not affected too much. I tried my best to edit it and make sure that it kind of runs as smoothly as possible without any hiccups in the quality, but I know for a fact that there is going to be a few, so I hope that you guys can put up with it on this one. Because it really is a solid episode, guys. There's a lot of legit information that me and Matt go over, but it's just there might be a few minutes here and there where it's a bit sort of distorted, a bit fuzzy. So just put up with it, please. And I'm telling you, you're really gonna benefit from it if you make your way through the whole episode. So yeah, let's get shit started. All right, now episode 16, guys. Let's get after it. Let's get woke as fuck.
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
As above, so below, what lies without resides within. Time for growth to begin. Mental, physical, and spiritual. We find balance with all three as we focus on totality, the whole, not the half. This is for those on a spiritual path, looking for the clues to the answers of life. But the truth ain't always nice, so leave your ego at the door. Let your inner lion roar and your spirit soar as we go deep down to the molecular level. Tap into the body with some yogic breath. Throw in some calisthenics for a true strength test. Like the shamans of old, we use a nature to heal with a little bit of DMT to reveal. This whole life journey is a little surreal, and your mind needs a leader, not a follower in life. Let your mind be the master and you pay a hefty price. This next 60 minutes is about self-mastery. It's not an easy path and it's a lifelong journey, but we up to empower with this red pill initiation hour. With this red pill initiation hour, brought to you by Primal Alchemy.
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
And 3, 2, 1. All right, guys, we're live. So welcome to episode 16 of Prime Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour. So guys, you are in for a treat today. This one's going to be definitely a esoteric episode. It's going to be a little bit different than the usual. There's going to be a lot of stuff that we cover today that you might not be totally familiar with, but it's good because a lot of the stuff that's going to be discussed truly is the foundation of optimal health. And I've got the perfect guy on in order to explain this to you in not only just like layman's terms, but he can also go deep as well. He's tutored by one of the greatest minds, almost like the Leonardo da Vinci of our time when it comes to health, when it comes to quantum biology, which is one of the subjects we'll be covering. And yeah, guys, I've been looking forward to talking to him for a while. And yeah, it's great to have him on. So let's just give a massive welcome to Mr. Matt Maruca. How are we doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Yes, Matt. Great myself, man. So like I was saying, man, I mean, we touched a little bit before we started recording and had a little chat briefly, and you gave me like a good little background on yourself, which is you're a little bit bummed out that we weren't recording because it felt like you laid it out nicely. But yeah, if we could just go over that again, man. I mean, just let everyone know who you are and what you're about, because of course you are the CEO of Ra Optics. You run your own blue blocking eyewear business, which is great, one of the best in the world. And for people that aren't familiar with it, if you could just give us a rundown on, yeah, like how you got into the business, where you see it going, and just give us a good background about yourself, man.
Yeah. So thank you, first of all. Basically, when I was younger, I experienced a lot of suffering physically. So thankfully, I was never physically abused by, you know, an alcoholic parent or something like this, but I was plagued with physical internal health issues. And so as I went from being a young kid getting into high school, I was basically feeling not well on a daily basis. Eventually, I tried different things, like, for example, regular Western medicine and the drugs that come along with it to heal the chronic issues that I was facing. Then I tried, when that didn't work, naturopathic medicine as another strategy. And when that didn't work, eventually I took it upon myself and I started researching and I started trying diets. And the diets I actually took a ton of faith in because I really believed what these bloggers were writing. But I tried the diets and they too weren't working to fix my health. And I couldn't understand why. I really couldn't, because it seemed like these people had a pretty good understanding of how the body worked and how to fix it. And so the thing that was tough was that the first the diet that I got into, not the first one, but the one I got into called the paleo diet, where you remove all these processed foods and eat more like our ancestors and therefore are supposed to have better health, I felt way better, much, much better at first. But then my results disappeared pretty quickly. And I was so heartbroken and depressed and lost. And I ended up with a pretty severe eating disorder as a result of trying to use these diets alone to fix my health issues. I was lost. I thought about, you know, how it might be nice to not be alive. And then I learned about this guy, Dr. Proust, who basically saved my life. He basically is just a smart guy, just like, you know, you could say like Benjamin Franklin or like Galileo or like the guy who invented penicillin, you know, someone who basically puts together knowledge to lead to something that's super beneficial for people. And I happen to be one of the people earlier on who have been benefited by this information that he has pieced together from decades, if not hundreds of years of research. And I basically just got really well, really quickly, doing what he suggests. No food, minimal food change, no supplements, no drugs. And since then, I mean, I basically focused on how I could be free financially and make money off of it. The lowest hanging fruit was these blue blocking glasses, because they're such an important part of these protocols that I learned about. And so pretty much I found something that works for me, and it works pretty well, and it doesn't cost a lot. In fact, it's almost free, and it comes from an understanding of life that's much more foundational than anything else that's out there, also known as quantum biology. And that has allowed me to understand so much more about life and the things that I deal with and that other people deal with, and also allowed me to do things like build a company, the first one of probably of many, that provides a product that helps people based on these ideas. And there's plenty more products and companies that I could build off of this, just kind of moving one at a time. So that's the background. And I started the journey, I mean, obviously when I was born, but really got deep into digging on my own when I was about 14 years old, first year in high school. And now I'm 19. So it's been 5 years that I've been kind of progressively experimenting, learning, applying, and experimenting again. So that's that.
Yeah, I just want people out to actually like make sure that they heard that correctly. Like, you are 19, Matt. So like, some people would be like, what the fuck? 19 and he's got his own business. And yeah, pretty impressive, man. And it's I like what you said. It seems to be that a lot of people who are who seem to be the voices, be that an influencer or be that researchers, like well-known researchers within health, fitness, well-being, within that sort of industry, they all come from a background of being fucked up in some way. Some adverse health condition that the Western medical paradigm couldn't fix. So, but what it really leads to is that it's really like a real low key spiritual awakening, in that you take power into your own hands, and you take power into your own hands in order to not only heal yourself, but then once you've healed yourself and you go through that realization of, oh, okay, I don't need to listen to these fucks anymore. Like, I'm my own power here. If I can heal myself, then I can better myself. If I just keep pursuing this, if I'm just persistent and consistent with learning new things, experimenting to see what works and what doesn't. And then you really start to put together a package of, yeah, just unleashing your truest potential. And it's always interesting talking to everyone, because everyone that I've talked to on the podcast so far has come from not a similar background story as yourself, Matt, but they've come from the same thing where they faced health issues and they felt hopeless, they felt lost, and then something happened in which caused some sort of spark happened, which caused them to really take matters into their own hands and, yeah, solve it for themselves. And that sort of transmutation that they went through really began their hero's journey into becoming the best version of themselves. And when people go through that journey, they want to share it with others, and they want others to do the same, because once you're doing it, it's so clear and it's easy, and you're like, man, everyone just needs to do this shit. And that's just coming from the perspective of the norm when it comes to health, fitness, exercise, nutrition. That's layers above what we're talking about, or we're going to talk about here, which is really the foundation of health, which is just, what are we looking at? We're looking at light, electromagnetism, water, and movement. Essentially, that's kind of like the basics, the real, if you were going to categorize this whole quantum biology movement without going into detail. And yeah, man, let's just go for it here. Let's just go deep on this one, Matt. And first, if you can just tell me a little bit more about your about Ra Optics, just so we've got something to start off with here in terms of like blue blocking glasses, and we can talk a little bit about the sort of the frequencies and wavelengths of light that we need to be avoiding, or the ones that we need to be having more of in our life, and then we can just really branch out from there.
Yeah. So what I'll start off by telling, because I want this to be beneficial for your listeners, but I don't want to give them too much information. I like to keep people sort of interested. So basically, the first thing I'll say on one of the things you said is, like, you know, these people, they'll go through their issues, they'll find their solution, they'll think everyone needs to do this. And one thing that's, I'd say, makes me a little bit different is that I don't think that about this. In other words, I used to, like, when I first improved tremendously by learning the stuff that I learned, I kind of thought everyone needs to do this. Like, everyone has to do this. You know, I have to try to share this with everyone. And I actually got it. I ended up being really, really more mentally stressed out than I was before I fixed my health issues, because now I felt like, now I really did have a solution to some extent. And now I felt like all the other people out there who are, you know, living the modern lifestyle don't have this. And so I was like, now I felt real guilty because I've kind of figured this out. And now there's so many people out there who aren't doing what I'm doing for health. And so, in other words, it became a mindset of wanting to push my beliefs on other people, which is really common, especially in like the health world with all the influencers today. But I would say, well, when I met Dr. Cruz the first time in person, I was all worried, and I asked him like how I could help everyone, because I felt really, you know, like I was wasting my life and almost committing a sin if I wasn't trying to help other people. And he actually told me that I needed to help myself more before I tried focusing on other people. And so that started a whirlwind where I actually ended up having the focus and energy, instead of trying to help everyone, which is a really, really a big waste of energy, to be honest, because a lot of people don't want help. They don't want to change their lifestyle, which is totally fine. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I basically heeded that advice, started focusing on myself. And as a result, more people have been positively impacted because I'm better off myself. So, in other words, I think that the best change and spreading comes when we each make ourselves the best we can be, and then it trickles across the board. Basically, what I was saying is that you mentioned that there's a lot of influencers out there in the health world who talk about how, you know, we all got to be helping others, and that everyone needs to do this new thing that they found out about. And pretty much I found actually that that mindset made me really miserable when I got started in this journey. I was really obsessed with trying to push this lifestyle onto other people. And I learned that ultimately the only way to really elevate humanity, which is kind of, you know, let's say the goal, is to actually each elevate ourselves. And that's what we have written on the inside of my glasses case when the new ones that are going to be sent out with our new launch. So yeah, I don't like this whole mindset of like, oh, I need to help everyone, help others, help, because specifically we should help ourselves, because again, like, the only way to build stronger population is by building strong individuals. And so if everyone's trying to spend their energy towards others, they're not going to be elevating themselves. And plus, I don't want a bunch of people trying to tell me what they think I need to do. Like, I'm going to go with what's best for me. And I think everyone else should go do what's best for them. And it shouldn't be all about like trying to push our views onto other people. And, you know, we think we know what's best for others. Like, I don't think so. So like, yeah, you might say, oh, but you know, Matt, you say that, but you have this company and you have this light diet that you're trying to teach people about. And you do obviously believe that it would be healthier for others. So I say what I just said, but I do believe that what I'm sharing would benefit other people. Like, if someone did this and they're living a modern toxic lifestyle, I believe it would benefit them. But the difference is that my goal is not to try to push it onto people. My goal is to just put it out there, share it with the people who want it, and the people who don't want it, that's fine. I'm cool with that. I'm not trying to push anything onto people who don't want it. You know what I mean? That's kind of where I make a small, like, a distinction. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You pretty much just sort of paraphrased, which is one of the most sacred teachings of all the ancient mystery religions, which is there is no savior, there is no hero coming to save the day. You are the savior, you are a hero. Save yourself, save the world. It all starts on a microcosmic level. You start with yourself, you change your world, and then through that, your world will mirror out into the external world. And yes, then that's how we really do begin to create a health revolution, how we create a paradigm shift. It starts on the individual level. So yeah, Matt, I'm totally on your level with that, man. And I've gone through my own journey, my own experience with this, collecting all of this information and integrating it into my own life and being like, fuck, man, this is what people need. This can set them free. This can change their life. And I pushed it on people. And yeah, you just get that sort of polar magnetic reaction where it just pushes people away. And what you really need to do, man, is just do the internal work. And if you do the internal work, you increase your sort of, woo-woo. You increase your magnetism. Yeah, don't worry, man. I'm just saying that one. I love that shit. It's, you begin to, people begin to naturally become attracted to you. Definitely. And instead of being out there pushing shit, it's not so much about pushing than it is receiving. Yeah, you pull. Exactly, man. That's exactly what it's like.
But I don't try to pull. I just magnetize. So, like, totally. I get what you're saying, and I agree. It's about focusing on ourselves. Also, I remember that in the beginning you mentioned that, you know, we're going to get into some esoteric stuff, and I decided I didn't know what the word really means. You know, we use these words. We don't really know what they mean a lot of the time. Not that you don't, but I didn't. So I looked it up, and it says, like, basically – intended or for or likely to be understood by only a small number of people with a specialized knowledge or interest. So I would say we actually will not be getting too esoteric, because this shit is something that anyone who knows anything and can speak any language can understand. Like, it's pretty simple. So I gave a little detail on myself and my background. I was slightly vague in certain areas intentionally, because I want to keep it to the key details. But upon further analysis, the key things that I need to add for people before we talk about the blue blockers like you requested is to make an analogy. That's the whole purpose of this podcast for me. So imagine, take a car, just bring a car in your mind and think about how the car has an engine basically under the hood, and then it has a fuel tank where gas comes in. So we're focusing on two pieces of the car, the engine and the gas. And in order for that car to move down the street, obviously it needs to start, but assuming it started, and basically for it to run and to move, the engine needs to work, and the gas also needs to be decent enough that the engine can work with the gas that's there. So now take the human body. Imagine the human body just like the car. We have ourselves as the whole car, and then inside of every single human cell, we have 1,000 engines called mitochondria, and then we have the gas tank, you could call it our mouth or our stomach, and the gas that goes in, the food that we eat, basically. So that's the analogy. So the gas is equivalent to the food, the engine in this car is equivalent to the mitochondria in our cells. Now let's say you had the car, and you didn't take it to get a tune-up for a long, long time. Like, you're supposed to do it every 5,000 miles, let's say. So what, 8,000 kilometers or something. And let's say you just didn't. You waited till you got to 20,000 miles, so 4 times that number. So what happens, I spoke with a mechanic who kind of helped me make this analogy a little bit better. If you know a lot about cars and this isn't exactly right, just go along with it. But basically, you know, to the listener at least, if you know something, Chris, that I don't, please bring it out to improve the analogy. But essentially, if you didn't get the car tuned up for 20,000 miles, what's probably going to happen, or much sooner than that, is that the spark plugs in the engine will get worn down, and they potentially won't fire properly, and they might fire out of sync. So basically, and for the pistons to move, I should say. So basically now you have an engine, but the thing is that spark plugs in the engine aren't firing properly. So you're putting in good gas, but the spark plugs aren't moving. So now also, let's say you have some really old oil in the engine. So it's really really clogged up. Can you still hear me, Chris?
Yep.
All right, just making sure. Right? All right, cool. So basically, now let's say you take this car that hasn't been tuned up in a long time, and you decide you want to go drive it, right? So you go to you have premium gas, you put into the car, and then you turn on the engine and you get it running, and then all of a sudden you try to move and it starts blowing out black smoke, and then the car doesn't move, basically, but it's blowing black smoke. It might stall out on you. And you're asking yourself, why isn't this car moving down the street? I'm putting in premium gas, so it should work, right? Should it not, right? So what we're doing in our bodies, bringing it back to the body, is we have these diseases today. And the researchers, particularly Dr. Doug Wallace from the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, has proven that the diseases that we're facing today, the chronic diseases from Alzheimer's to heart disease to diabetes to obesity to cancer, they're mitochondrial diseases, which means they occur when mitochondria, the engines in those particular tissues, be it the heart for heart disease, the brain for Alzheimer's, the pancreas for diabetes, and so on and so on, the brain for obesity, not in anywhere else, it's in the brain, the appetite centers and the hypothalamus. That's why people get fat. But basically, it's mitochondrial dysfunction of the engines. It's not about the food, like all the paleo diet people say, that food causes these diseases. It's the mitochondria, the engine's not working. And so now we're trying to put premium gas into our engines to try to fix them. And basically, the question that comes along is,
does it make any sense to ask, why is my engine not working because I'm putting in premium gas? Obviously not, because the engine's broken and gas can't fix the engine. You have to get the engine tuned up. You have to get the spark plugs all fixed by a mechanic directly acting on the engine to be able to utilize that premium gas. But the premium gas can't fix the broken engine. So does it make any sense to think that using premium food would be able to fix the broken engines in our body? It could if food is what affected the engines. But the reason the analogy is good is because just like gas doesn't fix the broken engine in a car, neither can food or supplements or exercise. Exercise is even worse, because if you have a broken car, would it make any sense to run the engine more and more and more and more? No, because it will absolutely only get worse. So the same thing happens in our body, essentially. And this might be controversial, but that's fine. But basically, that's what the science shows that's out there. And so it doesn't make any sense to try to fix the broken mitochondria engines in our body by using food either, because food isn't what changes their function. The thing that changes the function of the mitochondria is light and electromagnetism and water, essentially. These basic biophysical factors that allow life to exist on Earth, but primarily light and electromagnetism, of which light is a piece. And temperature, cold, can also impact it because it causes our cells to release light in the, as a response to stay warm, but it's still light and electromagnetism. So does that make sense, Chris? You kind of get where I'm coming from?
Yeah, that was actually a pretty good analogy, man. And I know fuck all about cars, so you've given me a good mechanical rundown of how automobiles work, and at the same time, I actually relate pretty well to how the body works. So yeah, man, I'm totally on board with that, Matt, and I love what you were saying. So in which case, what's the solution? We might as well just start to expand on this now. So if we start on one of those that we brought up, which was light, if you can give us a little bit of a rundown on light, and you can talk about photons, you can talk about, if you want to go more specific with certain light bandwidths, you can go in on that. We can just feel free, Matt, just freestyle it, man. And
yeah, I'll make it as simple as possible for the listener, and I'll if people want to learn more, I'm going to have some guides and a book and other things written on this. You can follow my Instagram, The Light Diet, light. So that's something, a place people can go to see little tidbits of cool information about various subjects. But essentially, what people want to do is get the right light, because basically sunlight is the thing that improves our mitochondria. That's what the research shows. This is why there's so many people out there who are, you know, benefiting from using red light therapy, red light panels, because the majority of sunlight is red light. And by living indoors all the time, we're losing the benefit of the red and infrared spectrum of the sun. So people are replacing it with these artificial lights, which are nowhere near as good as the sun, and they're still getting tremendous benefits. So imagine if you actually went in and filled it up with the whole solution, the real sun. People would do pretty well. And that was my experience. So essentially, the simplest way, when I say that's let's just get more sun, that might be vague. In the last podcast I just did earlier, I ran through all the steps. I'm not sure if I'm going to do that right now, but basically, you want to basically be getting up for the light diet every single morning and watching the sunrise, and then spending your time outdoors in the sun during the day. That's step one. There's many, many details. And again, I'll have this all written out for people pretty soon, but you want to get up, you want to go somewhere where you can see the sunrise. You don't want to be wearing sunglasses or contacts, and that's going to get your circadian clock started so that your biologic clock is working properly. You can get, basically, you're going to get to sleep at the proper time as well because of this exposure to light first thing in the morning. It leads to production and creation of all kinds of different hormones. And then in addition to that part of step one, I'll throw in there, you want to be barefoot if you're not in a city. If you're in a city, you want to wear rubber soles because the electrical wires running underground. You don't want that in you. That's a different step. But anyway, the second piece of that step is you want to be outside during the day. Like optimally, to go to the max, you live outdoors during the day. So if you're, whether you're in the shade, you're in the sun, you're under an umbrella, you're under a ledge, you're in an open room of your house that's open, with open windows, because windows block out these full spectrum light frequencies, just like sunglasses, contacts, and eyeglasses. You want to be basically exposed to the changes in the solar light from the moment it comes up to the moment it sets. That's optimal. if you can't, you want to at least get some the morning sunrise and then go out and bathe in the sun for at least an hour or more throughout the day. If it's cold and cloudy, you want to go out and just take a walk and at least be exposed to it for probably an hour at sunrise and then another hour later in the day. But again, it'd be, and that adds movement too. But if you can just open your window and get the sun coming in through the window without the filtration that goes on with glass and plastic, then that's pretty good. You know, wherever you are, even if it's cold, that's another benefit. That's a different step, the benefits of cold. So that's the beginning. And Chris, I'd love if you have questions to ask on how, you know, maybe questions you had with your process of applying some of these things, because I'm sure you do a lot of these things regardless. I've just put them in simple form that people can understand with a cool name so that they can actually take the masses. But yeah, feel free to ask if you have any questions.
Oh, we're back. Yo, you hear me okay, Matt?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a cut out then. So just processing everything you said, man. So I just want to sort of take you back and sort of like break that down bit by bit. When you were saying that when you're sun gazing in the morning, is there any specific method that you use? Do you do like the HRM method where it's like you build that up over a set period of time by set sort of time intervals every day, or do you just go out and just watch the sunrise and it is what it is?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely just built it up. Like, I can now look at the sun pretty much straight on for a while until the UVA starts to come in, which is, I couldn't really tell you how it has to do with the angle and where you are on the earth, but I can just feel it on my eyes when I go from being able to look right at the bright light directly and the UV comes and then my eyes says, okay, time to look away. But that's probably here in Mexico right now, that's about 15 to 30 minutes, probably like 20, 25 minutes from the moment it rises. But I would recommend people just build up their exposure gradually, maybe look 15 degrees off to the right. Technically, when it's rising, you can look directly at it because it doesn't have any UV, you know, for the first 15 to 20 minutes, no matter where you are on Earth, because it has to pass through more atmosphere. So it really couldn't damage your eye, even if you do subscribe to the incorrect paradigm that UV is bad for health and everything. But so yeah, looking at it directly on early in the morning is totally safe. If you find that you're really, really sensitive to it, you definitely want to, you know, you definitely want to build up slowly and take precaution. None of this is medical advice, by the way. Just so people know, this is not medical advice. Consult with your physician before changing anything about your regimen. Get that out of the way. And then, yeah, so that's the short answer, I guess. You could kind of take it step by step. But if you have problems, I'll add, looking at the light directly, it definitely means that you have an issue with, you know, your eye, basically. And because we're designed to be able to be out in the sun without squinting. Like, I used to squint so much in the summer back in Philadelphia, which is the 40th latitude north. Now I'm at the 20th latitude north, twice as close to the equator, basically, in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. It's just about solar noon. It's about 1 o'clock p.m. And I'm basically, I can almost look right at the sun with one eye closed, pretty much almost dead on, not quite, but without having this painful squinting tearing up. The point is that this is just something you build up. The more, another step, step two actually, we'll talk about, the more seafood you eat, the more DHA you have in your retina to be able to assimilate sunlight. And the more blue light you block at night, the more your photoreceptors are going to be able to regenerate in your sleep so that you can actually have better light assimilation. And everything in you will work better as a result. So yeah, that's the detailed answer, Chris.
Yeah, I love that breakdown you gave. And it's I did something very similar. Like, I've been practicing sun gazing for a while. It's a little bit harder here in the UK, dude. We haven't got the weather that you've got over in Mexico over there. It's pretty shit at the moment, so it's doom and gloom over here. But we did our previous summer of 2018, we had a lot of sun. So I really sort of went balls deep on the sun gazing. And it's interesting because when you first start to research sun gazing and sort of really sort of push aside all the bullshit propaganda that demonizes it, you start to come to a lot of the truth that's really the foundation of sun gazing. And one of the methods that's one of the more popular is the HRM method, which was proposed by an Ayurvedic sort of practitioner. I forgot what his name now. I think it's something like Hira Ratan Manek or something like that. Regardless, it doesn't matter. But basically, the protocol that he gives is that you've got an hour window from sunrise to sunset where the UV radiation isn't going to be damaging to the eyes. So that's your slot in order to really look, in order to get those photons into your system, to get those, to get that light bandwidth into your system when it's safe. And he says to start off with just 10 seconds and you progress 10 seconds every day for 9 months until you reach 45 minutes and then you're done. So I tried it and I did 10 seconds the first time and I was like, the fuck, man. It's like, I can look at this pretty easy. I don't want to wait 9 months. So long story short, I just went like full hearted into this. And yeah, I was just watching, I was doing like an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening. Is that too much? Or what's your opinion on that?
No, not in the UK, probably because the sun doesn't really, it's not as strong there. Has to pass through more atmosphere to get to you. So yeah, that's probably okay. An hour in the evening in the UK. Like I was just in Philadelphia, which is even further south latitude than the UK. And I was able to look at it a lot longer in the evening because it's so far south from our position there. Not only is it coming through a lot of atmosphere from the west or the east where it's rising and setting, but it's also passing through more from the south as well. I think that's fine. I think that's totally fine. Again, like I already said, this isn't medical advice, so people got to take caution with what they do, but you can read about the Ayurvedic people doing this. This is nothing new. That's step one. Basically, step one's all about the light. Sunrise every day is pretty important. Use an alarm. I mean, I have in the guide that I'm writing in the book, there's lots of details like, you know, you can use an alarm, but it's better to get to sleep really, really early so that you really start waking up naturally at sunrise time. But even I don't wake up every day naturally at sunrise. I don't, you know, front to be like, pretend to be like, you know, the master of all this. I'm still working on myself a lot, but it works pretty well. But yeah, you know, you could use an alarm to get your rhythm set early and eventually it will lock into place. But the key is getting to sleep really early. But that's part of step five. Shall we move on?
One thing that I wanted to cover, because you glanced over it very quickly, but it's very important, is the importance of having sufficient DHA, docosahexaenoic acid, in your diet, which you suggest is best from seafood or like oysters.
Step two, so you're in luck.
Oh, is that step two? Is it? Fuck.
I put it in a pretty solid order, trust me. So it was pretty logical. It went from like 40 steps to like 20 to, it just was like a lot. And to 11 and finally got it down to 6. And each step technically has several steps within it, but it just makes it more digestible. So step two is, eat a lot of seafood and drink good quality spring water. So we could just talk on the seafood first. Yeah, you're right. The simple way to put seafood is that it's the molecule that distinguishes humans and dolphins from all the other mammals that, you know, in other words, as you go up the chain of how big an animal's brain is, typically there's more DHA involved. And people often talk about like, well, dolphins are so smart. They don't know why, but the reason why is because they eat so much seafood that their DHA level is so high that they're able to basically build an extremely complex nervous system, which is the same in a human because we're pescatarian, obligate pescatarian. And I'm just saying that. The reason I say humans are obligate pescatarians is because although we can eat other stuff, to be a human with a functioning brain that is a human brain and at the level it's supposed to work at, then you must be a pescatarian eating a lot of seafood primarily. I mean, you can also eat meat. I'm not saying like a pescatarian that doesn't eat meat. I'm just saying a person that primarily eats seafood. And if you're not an obligate pescatarian, like in other words, if you're not a pescatarian as a human, you're eating mostly either meat or other junk food or vegetarian, then the brain can never function at the optimal level that it's supposed to, unless you got really lucky and your mother had a ton of DHA and she passed it on, and you grew up in an environment with a ton of sun where you're able, and no artificial light, no non-native EMF, which is step three that we're going to move into. But basically, if you didn't grow up in a perfect, pristine environment like that in the forest, essentially, or like a native person, then this DHA would be destroyed by all of our artificial fields. So you need to be replacing it through your diet. In other words, if you are living in a totally natural lifestyle with lots of sun and minimal artificial man-made light and radiation exposure, then you can reuse and recycle your DHA stores. But if you
don't, if you live in the modern world, which almost everyone listening to this or everyone listening to this will, because they have earbuds in their head doing the same thing to the brain with the radiation hopping up the wire essentially and whatever. So I'm probably, you know, looking at a screen to get here, but yeah. So we need to eat it to basically have a human brain. And if we don't, we have more of a gorilla brain. It's pretty simple. I mean, it's hard to complexify that one, but there's a lot of research that people can look into about how the human brain was built based on seafood DHA primarily. So yeah. And we put more of it where DHA primarily goes is into our retina, one. And the reason why is in the retina has more than any other part of the body. And the reason why is because DHA takes light with the photoelectric effect that Einstein discovered. It hits, and this is largely the work of Dr. Kruse, but also there's plenty of papers sort of on this to some extent. But basically the light hits the DHA and causes the flow of electrons, creating a DC electric current. And this is basically the way that we see. We have light coming in, and DHA transmutes it essentially into an electrical current, which creates the electrical signal that allows us to see. This is why we have more DHA in our retina than anywhere else. But the same thing happens in our cell membranes on our skin, where this is another place we put a lot of DHA, where we basically take sunlight and turn it into usable electrical energy for our body. So that's why I was able to go from being the palest, whitest kid I knew growing up and burning all the time in 20 minutes in the sun up near Boston, where we would go for the summer, which is much weaker sun than what I've been sitting in all day down here in Mexico. And now I don't. Primarily, I attribute it to mostly eating whole seafood. And I just went through this in the last podcast I was on earlier today, but eating, I know a guy who used to run a company that sells algal DHA oil from algae. I think it's pronounced algal, whatever it is. But basically, he even told me that he backed out because he really realized where it's actually coming from, how gross.
Did you do a podcast with Matt?
What's that?
Did you do the podcast with Matt?
No, I did not do the podcast with Matt. I did a podcast
I thought you were referring to Matt Blackburn.
I'm not going to give any names, but all I can say is that this friend of mine told me that he had to back out. And so there's some legal, maybe some legal things, I don't know. But essentially, like, the process by which this stuff is made is disgusting. And he now knows that it is really bad and doesn't recommend it to people anymore. Again, I'm not going to say any names. So basically that stuff is really bad. Verified from someone who used to sell it. So,
yeah. Just wanted to touch base a minute, Matt, before you go on. Instead of having that form of DHA, like you were saying, again, what's your thoughts on phytoplankton, like pure marine phytoplankton?
That's just not the exact same as algae, but I think it's probably,
yeah, it's like that algae oil is an extract, but the purest form of it is raw phytoplankton, and that's got a shit ton of DHA in and a lot of other sort of phytonutrients.
Yeah,
and
I don't recommend it because we can't convert it into the form that we actually need to use. And I'm going to refer this one to, I'll try to get you the link, but Dr. Kruse did a Facebook Live on this topic several days ago, actually just before we both gave a talk in Los Angeles at the Neil Strauss Biohacker event. And he did the Facebook Live with the guy who did the study, who just concluded just a few months ago that we cannot, absolutely not, use these oils and extracts and algae sources to get it into our body. And we have to eat it in the whole seafood form. That's really the only way to do it properly. And I strongly caution anyone against using anything like that, especially processed and extracted anything, but even that form that you're talking about, because it very likely could be toxic and also get into the right places in our body, but easily be oxidized. So basically building our cell membranes and nerves out of something that is just ready to just basically stop working and start making us not work well. So I know that's inconvenient for many people who like to do these things, but the jury's out. So
yeah, I do agree with you, Matt. And I mean, even just looking at basic science, it's as soon as you start to tamper with an omega-3, omega-6, or polyunsaturated fat, it's very unstable. So whatever means you're doing to tamper with it in order to extract it and make it into an oil, make it into an extract, it can very easily oxidize. But I just wanted to touch on, just before we move on, just with what you're saying as well, the way that the DHA allows it to convert into a DC current. And it's interesting, man, because I've been doing a lot of reading recently to do with the way that omega-3s and omega-6s have that sort of potential to create electron clouds on the outside of the cellular membrane. Yeah. And then if you start to take that into a little bit deeper, what we're really needing to do is that we need our sort of cellular nucleus to have like a strong positive charge. And then we want the inside of the cell membrane to have a strong negative charge, and the outside of the cell to have a strong positive charge. So then what it's going to do is create like a sort of like a internal biode that just going to pull in the electrons into the cell. And that's going to help you absorb electrons, photons, and that's what's going to really power up the cell. And is that in the same sort of thing that you've been sort of researching and reading into?
Yeah, there's a book on that's about water called The Fourth Phase of Water that explains that pretty well.
It's by Gerald Pollock.
Yeah,
right?
It sounds pretty similar to what you're talking about. You would have to repeat that, but I think I get what you're saying. And yes, it is. Like, life is built on proton gradients, where you have a positive charge on one side of the membrane and a negative or a less positive charge.
Yeah, to create that diode, that's what we're wanting.
Yeah, and we want to increase that proton gradient. I mean, specifically in life, that's found in the mitochondria in our engines, in the difference between the amount of protons in the inner mitochondrial space, the intermembrane space. And the matrix, which is the inner membrane space, the inner inside of the mitochondria, there's a gradient, and that gradient is constantly there unless we do anything that causes us to die, or that causes it to not be there, in which case we die. But yeah, that gradient powers all of life. I'm not so sure about the gradient between the outside of cells versus the inside of cells, but I know that cells are negatively charged, so it wouldn't surprise me that the outside of the cells are positively charged. I have a lot more reading and learning to do, but yes, that sounds very sensible as part of it. So,
the basics of that is what you want is for your cell to essentially be a sort of a semiconductive diode, in that you're going to be drawing in electrodes. That's the very basics of it. Again, it can be pretty complicated if this is like brand new to people. So we're leave it for step one and two. So how do we progress from here?
Yeah, step one and two, and the other half of step two is drinking good quality spring water. And I'm really not going to go into that, but just don't drink tap water ever. Go buy good quality spring water. And if you live somewhere that's like a desert or tropical, better to import your water from the poles or mountaintops, somewhere like glacial water, spring water, but not from your area, because it's usually high in deuterium, this molecule that basically clogs our mitochondria, but we will not get into that at this moment. Just moving on. Step three is what I mentioned, can destroy DHA stores in our body, but is also harmful for several other reasons, is avoiding man-made non-native electromagnetic fields, basically man-made radiation. So the big one to avoid to start is the invisible form, like radio frequencies, magnetic and electric fields that are not native, like the Earth's native Schumann resonance. Is native, but the ones that aren't are like anything that is plugged into our power grid, any appliance that's plugged into the power grid, all the electrical wiring of the power grid outlets themselves put out these fields, like 2 to 3 feet, anything electrical. The biggest offenders now being Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, cell phones, cell towers, but the phones and the computers are much worse because we're much closer to them than the towers and antennas. We want to minimize this exposure by using things like Ethernet and using things like keeping the cell phone on airplane mode, turning our Wi-Fi off at night while we're sleeping. And the biggest thing is moving away from cities, because if you live in a city, you're part of the biggest experiment that has ever been done on humans that I'm aware of. I mean, I can't say it's the biggest, but it's a pretty big experiment being done on humans with the safety of these fields. And they're really not safe, and it's been proven over and over again. But continuously the industry has funded studies to show that it needs more research and so on. For the last 20 years, all the studies the industry publishes shows either totally safe, completely harmless, or needs further study, so we can't make any conclusions yet. Allowing them to keep doing what they're doing, advancing this technology while the masses are just unaware and harvesting lots of money off of people, which is totally fine. But it's the fact. The coolest thing about this, though, like in regards to what I said earlier, is that we get what we allow. So it's not like this is super upsetting. It is slightly upsetting to me, and it was much more earlier on in my journey when I was more focused on trying to like convince others. But since I've started to just focus on myself, I've realized how true it is that we get what we allow, and that's it. And I won't allow myself to be microwaved with whatever frequencies the government and telecom industries would like to subject me to. But I might be unable to avoid it at a certain point anyway. But I can try my best, I guess, you know? So that's, and yeah, I gave the simplest actions that anyone can do right there. The biggest is staying away from densely populated areas. If you build a house, you want to build it so that only one quadrant of the house has electricity in it and the rest do not. But again, that's something most people won't do because you're probably going to want to sell your house down the road. So things that Dr. Cruz does, like I was sort of constantly present as his 5G mitigation center, longevity farm down in Louisiana was being built. I got to see it from, you know, a complete shell of two old buildings to like literally lead lined wall fortress that it is. It still looks like a normal place, but you know, metal roof, all this stuff. So there's lots more on that I'll be talking about in the future on my various publications and whatnot. Anyway, though, the other thing, avoiding man-made light, is essentially simple. We'll talk about the avoiding it after dark, especially in a separate step, but just during the day, just don't use lights in your house during the day, optimally speaking. You don't need them. You have windows. Let that light in. If you don't have windows, then you have a problem. But you don't need much light during the day when you're indoors in a house. Just use the natural light coming from the window. Your eyes will adjust. So it's pretty simple. That's step three. Any questions on that, Chris?
No. I think you explained that pretty well, man.
Got it. Yeah, it's pretty simple. Step four is the benefits of cold exposure. That's huge. Like cold exposure, like cold baths especially, and cold ocean swimming, lakes and rivers can be tremendously healing, especially for people who live in winter climates and are wondering, like, how can I make this work while I'm in with little sun? Getting in the cold a lot, even if it's just going out for a walk or run with less clothing on than usual, that causes the body to start turning on the inner furnace, which is our mitochondria, to release a lot of infrared light that's stored in our fat, which is pretty cool that like our fat actually has a lot of light stored in it. We can put it through the mitochondria when we're exposed to cold and literally release that light from inside. It's just like having a bonfire, but making the bonfire happen at the tiniest level inside of all of our cells. And so cold exposure is really fantastic for that. In fact, I'm going to go over to this resort that I was staying at a couple days ago with a bunch of people at Dr. Cruz's sort of mastermind, quantum biology mastermind event down here in Mexico. And, go back over there and hop into the cold plunge because there's still some people over there. But basically, yeah, that causes us to release our inner light. Wim Hof calls it the inner fire. And even though they don't even know this science based on all the presentations I've seen at their events, they have no clue about this, even though Wim's a great guy. They're actually right. It is the inner fire. So other things you can do in the winter is have a bonfire, but the cold is super powerful. Also, keep in mind, like if you have a pool to get into and it isn't particularly cold, but it's still cool relative to the body, you're still getting a tremendous benefit. And even if you get in a hot tub, you're still getting that light, the infrared light from the water. So that's still a benefit too. But the cold is particularly powerful for many reasons, and people can research into that themselves. But the biggest being like the benefits of the immune system. You know, the Russians know that if they put their kids in the cold, they would have stronger immune systems. And this has loads to do with improving mitochondrial function. So it's pretty simple. You know, some people do a chest freezer, like Luke Story advertises this chest freezer method where you buy a chest freezer, fill it with water, leave it on a timer, and it keeps your water pretty freaking cold all the time. I use a rubber tub and a smaller chest freezer to make ice blocks. And then I just take them out of the I'll have all this written out as a protocol at some point as well, but I make my own big chunks of ice with just the water from the hose, fill up the tub, put my ice chunks in there, let them melt and break them apart with a sledgehammer. And then I have cold water and I sit in there and work with my torso, half my torso below the water, just half above. It's pretty cool. So this is healing. And that's how I particularly overcame my issues, was in about 3 months of just sun exposure and swimming this freezing river in Bosnia where I was on a foreign exchange my third year of high school 2 years ago.
You hear me?
So pretty cool. Cold exposure. Great. So basically, for the audience, guys, we're having minor technical difficulties, but it's totally cool because this is part of the deal and it's fun. We're both learning. So, and it gives time to step back and think, contemplate. So basically, I'll just tell people, you've got plenty of good stuff already. If you do the stuff we've shared, great. Get into cold water. Step five, when it gets dark outside, do not use artificial light. If you do, you're really harming your melatonin level. The best thing you can do to protect from the artificial light, because no one's going to go live back in a cave probably, although where I stay at night, you'd think it's a cave because I don't use any lights at night. But blue light blocking glasses are great because they block the frequencies of light. And this goes to that first question you asked, Chris, for me to explain on this, but I decided it'd be better to dig into why light is more important than food for health, because it determines the function of the engines. And then like what kind of light we need to be in and how it really, what that really means, how it works. We live in good light, avoid the artificial man-made light. So now it's nighttime. Basically, when it gets dark, you want to slap on your blue blocking glasses for any artificial light, which is another form of non-native electromagnetic radiation that disrupts the mitochondrial's functions and their tuning to the rest of the world and the universe that they're supposed to be tuned to, the day and the night cycles. So, this allows our body to start naturally making melatonin the way it's supposed to, whereas if we don't have blue blocking glasses on, or if we just have artificial lights around when we shouldn't, like I said, I use no lights in my place at night and just like a little red flashlight. And the reason red is okay is because it's primarily the more energetic side of the spectrum, particularly blue and green light, that can excite the photoreceptors and suppress melatonin secretion. So that's what the blue blockers block. They're really cool. We make them stylish and look good. The night lenses are the ones you use for night. For day, if you want day blue blockers, we sell those too. They're great for when you're indoors, and they just reduce the blue spike by about 50%. So it basically minimizes the damage to your eyes and your hormones while still allowing you to like look normal and not have a super colored lens. But at night, you just have to be ready to go balls deep and have a pretty colored lens. So otherwise, your melatonin is going to be, you know, damaged. But, or you just don't use any lights if you don't have, if you happen to be the kind of person who doesn't like to go out often at all, then you're good. You just use no lights at your place. But also they're like a form of peacocking when you wear these glasses. You're kind of like got something to talk about to people. So it's kind of cool on many notes. People ask you about them. You'll teach people cool stuff. It's very cool. So don't be afraid. But so that's step five. Step six, final step is there's various pieces and I haven't quite finalized in on one, but the biggest thing I think is to have faith. And this is cool with your podcast, especially because I know you're focused on spiritual everything. Some people don't like hearing about faith because they think it's blind and they have all this hatred against religion and God and the church because of the, you know, their upbringing or whatever it may be that made them really anti-faith, you know, and whatever. And they maybe are like an atheist who says that science has all the answers, which really isn't true because the Big Bang Theory is just as scientific as Buddhist, you know, some kind of mysticism theory of the origin of the universe or creationism. And the reason for people who don't get that, by the way, who are thinking like, oh my God, that's not true. He's so wrong. There's a book called Cosmos Sapiens by a guy named John Hans from London, from the UK. Really good book. And he goes in and analyzes like the biggest premises in all of modern science and pretty much takes most of them apart. And the biggest one being that the Big Bang is scientific because it's not. And the reason why is for anyone who knows about science, you know that something has to be falsifiable for it to be scientific, to be able to be part of an experiment. Is the Big Bang falsifiable? No, you can't run an experiment to test whether or not it happened. It's based on computer models and a bunch of guys sitting and, you know, just thinking about it. So it doesn't mean it couldn't have happened, but it's just as scientific as creationism or anything else that you probably despise if you're one of these people who vehemently doesn't like religion and the church and all this stuff. So I think that having faith in a higher sort of a higher power, or you could say just in the universe, is a, maybe something other people can stomach more easily, is very, very beneficial. You know, just believing that things actually can work out in a positive way. And moving forward with that sort of thing. And I actually have plenty more work to do on that, like we all do probably, but I especially for myself. That's huge. And then another piece of that is like focusing on yourself. I already talked about that, but focusing on yourself is really big. And having really good friends too, and not being around people who hold you back is awesome. Like some of the best I've ever felt in my life is when I'm alone. Honestly, like I thought it was like not good to be alone so much, you know, like it would hinder my, you know, whatever social interaction and blah, 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 being alone so much doing like my work. But ultimately, like I'm not alone that much. I still see people, but I just kind of get in the zone and focus. And like, I'm as pure as I'll ever be as far as my standards go when I'm on my own, being able to just focus on what I want. And then when I go out into the world, I have to like, you know, keep on a strong protection barrier to prevent a lot of the negative things that are out there from sticking to me and sticking with me and driving my thoughts down into the ground rather than up to the sky. And yeah, so it's a pretty simple process, but I'm glad we got to run through it, because the truth is that these things are really helpful. And there was a point when I was kind of nervous about like sharing all these ideas, thinking that someone might go try to, you know, steal them or blah, 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 or not that there's any stealing to be had, because I actually kind of want people to just share this message, and I want the light diet to become known for everyone. So that's just the steps. I mean, there's a lot more we could talk about as far as evolving spiritually, physically, and everything. And yeah, so.
To be honest with you, Matt, I think what you outlined is it's a introduction to spirituality. Because spirituality at its root is simply living in accordance with natural law. And if you're gonna just like, in terms of how our relation is to nature, like those steps that you laid out is simply just reinforcing that relationship back with nature. Like it's not like you're looking for anything. You don't have to pay for anything. Like everything that you need is right there. You've got your body, you've got the earth, you've got the sun, and then yeah, your body is the medium between the earth and the sun, the interface between the two, and then that's where you start to create that spiritual connection with natural rhythms and natural law. So I think just by following what you said, if you follow those protocols, if you start to wake up with the sun and start to like wind down when the sun sets, if you start to if you start to ground yourself to the earth, it's all of these things will begin to really sort of set off a spark, an internal spark of spiritual growth within you. And you don't have to do this being spiritual, but I feel like a natural result of doing this will be an increase in your own spiritual intelligence. And it's something that I feel like that's one of the untold benefits of these sort of protocols that you were saying, Matt. It's like you're giving down like decent science in terms of the health effect, down to the cellular level, down to the mitochondria level. But the greater picture is the spiritual realm. And in order to connect to that, I feel like those are steps. Those are practical steps. It's you can go do your meditation, you can go wear crystals and hemp clothing and sit around doing Cambo ayahuasca sessions and all that shit. But doing those simple steps that you outlined, that will bring forth a spiritual evolution inside you that will envy a lot of the hippies out there. There's a lot of people that could benefit from this, Matt, and that's why I really wanted to get you on, because what you've just outlined is something that's natural. It's nature's biohack. It's the original biohack.
That is so true. You know, it's funny. Just a note that I bring up is, people. Do you know Luke Story?
Yeah, I listen to his podcast, man. He's good.
Yeah, he's great. So, and I actually learned of him through Dr. Cruz. And now he's a pretty good friend of mine just because I've been living in Los Angeles, and he's one of the, you know, only people I really know out there. And he's like, you know, like a big brother in a way, a good, like big brother to me. And I have seen, you know, being around him so much and through phases of his transformation as he has been through mine in huge ways. I mean, he's been the biggest positive connection I've had in my, probably in my life besides Dr. Cruz, in terms of hooking me up with like people who have brought me out to Los Angeles to kind of like work and meet and all this stuff. And anyway, though, one of the coolest things is like he does all that stuff, like the crystals and the yoga and all this, everything, like literally that you could name, he's probably done it and interviewed the person who talked about it. You know what I mean? And the thing is, like, even he was still having a bunch of issues. And, you know, when he talked with Dr. Cruz, when he came out to LA and they met in person for the second time at this Neil Strauss event, he was like, you know, previously, I'll say this, and I think he would be totally cool with me saying this, like he, and, you know, rightfully so, kind of jokes about Jack, you know, because Jack is like always poo-pooing all these, all those kinds of things. Not necessarily saying they're worthless, but like all the devices, Jack just says, you don't need all that shit, you know? So Luke's like, oh, Jack's going to come and, you know, poo-poo my devices and blah, blah, blah. But when Jack actually gets to, you know, there and they're talking, and Luke realizes that Jack, that even though it's kind of the first principle that Jack talks about, Luke wasn't getting up every morning and watching the sunrise. And literally he started doing it like the morning after we were done. And he's texting me like, holy shit, dude, like I feel fucking amazing. And it's like 8, 9 p.m. and I'm tired as shit. And I'm not going to be staying up till like, you know, 10, 11 like I was doing the stuff that I knew wasn't right. And it's just so – it's so cool. The biggest thing about getting up at the sunrise is it makes it so you're tired. First of all, you get all the proper signals in the morning, and that change from more orange light to more yellow light, which is the change that occurs there, is more blue comes on. So it's like the best time to turn the brain on. Whereas if you come out past a certain hour, your brain really – it's a little harder to distinguish what hour of the day it is, just because the sun has already gotten past that threshold where it pretty much maintains the same color throughout the day until it gets down to sunset. But if you get that increase, like from first light onto when it rises over the horizon, that's fantastic for the circadian system. But anyway, Luke started doing this, telling me that he was feeling better. And I think his New Year's thing was to quit all the supplements he was trying just to see how he feels. I have to check in with him and see how it's going. But the point is, like, this stuff is so foundational to optimizing the physics of the organism and the way our cells work, the foundational processes by which we make energy, which I did not go into, but I will be going into in the book and other, you know, publications and works and so on. But really, like you had mentioned, it really is all going back to optimizing that, the proton gradient that occurs in our mitochondria and in our cells, that is basically what we use to make energy. And yeah, the more sun we put into the system, pretty much, and you know, cold water is very beneficial as well, and then good quality sleep, the better the mitochondria are going to be able to work and maintain this proton gradient, which is the vital force of life. So and it's still at the core, it's just electromagnetism. So we want to be tied to the right stuff, not to the wrong stuff. And I liked how you said also that we are like the interface between the sun and the earth. Like, I kind of already knew that, but I never really thought about it in that exact way, which is so cool. It's so true, you know, just it adds a positive perspective for me.
Yeah, I'm glad you resonated with it, man. And it's I'm like, you kind of said then that you don't like Luke does all that spiritual stuff. I fucking do all that spiritual stuff as well. I'm all about that. I love that shit. But what we're talking about here is foundation, and you can't build a solid house or a tower or a castle or a temple of God. You can't build your biological temple of God on shaky ground. You need a solid foundation, and this is shit that people need to get sorted and get on lockdown in order to start to really progress in their spiritual evolution. And these, for me, are non-negotiables. You get this shit sorted, then you can start looking into doing some of the more esoteric stuff. And then that's like, I just feel like there's levels to it. And the stuff that you're presenting, you and Dr. Jack Cruz is presenting, although it's very advanced, because it's a completely different paradigm to what we've lived in for such a long, prolonged period of time. It's not necessarily advanced. it should be viewed as the foundation, and then there should be accessories placed on top of that in order to start to build our, like I was saying, our biological temple. And yeah, I feel like there's so much more to discover. I feel like you were saying, man, in terms of the proton gradient and the electrons, photons, this is the same shit that ancient civilizations have been talking about for thousands of years, but they just didn't have that terminology. They called it prana, they called it chi, life force energy. It's all the same sort of thing, but this is our sort of scientific 21st century explanation for it. But the first religion on Earth was sun worship. So all of the major religions, be it monotheistic or polytheistic, their central god, their governing god is the sun god. Be that Jesus, the son of God, the sun god. Be that Apollo, be that Ra. Go through all of these ancient cultures, and they've all got their central god as the sun god, and that sums it up, man. It's like. Yeah. And the soul of consciousness is us. That's our true source. And when we begin to connect with that, we begin to open up these energy channels in us, which is what we just described then in a bit more of a scientific approach.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And that's what takes us on to that next level spiritually. And then that's when you start. That's when you can go do your ayahuasca, you can do your San Pedro, your Cambo, whatever sort of plant medicine you want. But if you're connected to the sun and you're connected to that solar consciousness, fuck, man, your pineal glands open anyway, and you'll be secreting some DMT in plenty of dosage, where you're going to be able to have those mystical experiences just by being connected to the earth. It's as simple as that. And yeah, back in ancient times, they didn't have biochargers, or they didn't have. Like all the biohacking tools that we have today, molecular hydrogen water machines, they didn't have all that shit, but they were so much more spiritually advanced than us. All they had was their bodies, and the knowledge of how the sun and the earth affects them on a microcosmic level. And that's what we need to revert back to, man. And totally. When we do so, yeah, and that's what we need, man. We need people like yourself. Like, you're the next generation, man. I was like, obviously, you're taking all of that wisdom from Dr. Jack Cruz and all your other people that you're around, you surround yourself with and learn. But you're pushing this information out there, which is great. And I'm doing my thing, pushing my information out there as well, which is more the, keep using that term, esoteric in nature. But totally. we're on very similar paths in terms of the end goal. Our vision, I think, is very similar. So it was great having you on, Matt. And I'm just checking the time.
Yeah, totally. All good. I would throw in one more thing to say that, you know, the cool thing about this is, for someone who might hear this who hasn't heard of Dr. Cruz, you know, his website and everything is by design very complex and very hard to decipher. So you've just gotten basically 4 years worth of simplification distillation of the key concepts. And again, if you really understand it, people say when you know better, you do better. So you want to learn about how it works in more detail. So I'll be publishing stuff on that. You can check out Dr. Cruz's stuff. You could read any of the researchers who I mentioned earlier on. I don't know if I actually mentioned them in this podcast or the last one, but anyway, they'll be available through my works and stuff. And yeah, so this is just something that I'm saving you the steps in between, but you might find that you still need to put in the work to understand it a little deeper to be able to do it. And no one, you know, you get what you allow. No one, is going to hand this to you on a silver plate. So if you expected to come on here and like have all the answers and be able to just go on and live, sorry, that's not what you're getting. You're going to have to go and do the work, but this has made it a lot easier for you. I've saved you like about 3 years of deciphering. So you're welcome. Not for you, Chris, but I mean, you've already done the work, it seems, but for those who maybe haven't heard of this.
Yeah, no, it's great, man. And that's one of the main things as well. It's all well and good knowing it, but true, like, knowledge is okay, But unless you integrate it into your life and sort of transmutate that knowledge into wisdom, which comes through experience, then that's where you get true understanding or true understanding. So everything that we've said, everything that we've talked about, guys, just give it a go. It's so simple. We're not, none of the stuff that we talked about here is going to cost you any money to do, unless you want a pair of Matt's rat optic glasses, or if you're going to go buy some.
I mean, you could go buy cheap ones on Amazon. I'll tell you that now. They just won't look that good. So, and they'll either be dark or too light. There's none in the middle on Amazon. So the ones, there's darker ones that'll make you stumble over your own feet, but that's fine if you're cool with having them really dark. And there's ones that are lighter that also look kind of like crazy, but they're both fine. They're just going to be not as attractive. That's fine. Yeah, it's a starting point.
Yeah, for sure, man.
And good quality water, good quality seafood. That'll cost you money too, to be honest. So can't say that it's going to be totally free. But the sun and the air and the grounding are more or less free. Moving to a healthier environment, that's going to cost money too. So don't discount money. Money will be very useful in getting an optimal environment, especially if you can be location independent as things change and potentially get worse in major cities and population areas. But it's all good. So yeah.
All right, man. So just, you did briefly touch on it earlier. So I just want to finish up on it as well, just so people know in case they forget that. Whereabouts can they find you? You already mentioned that it's at The Light Diet on Instagram, but if you've got any more stuff that you want
at
to sort
the light
of just
diet on Instagram, on Facebook, you could look up Matt Maruca, MattMaruca. And I'll probably start posting some stuff there as well. But the Instagram I'll focus on because so many people use it today. Likewise, I have a website, mattmaruca.com, where I'll probably post things related to the light diet. And that'll be some decent places to start. The Instagram is a good place to start for sure. Just go there. I have a Linktree link in my description where people, I'll add more and more cool stuff as it comes out so that people can, you just click on the Linktree there, the link, and it'll lead to the other links that are important things. And that's pretty good. And then, of course, for Raw Optics glasses, you can right now go to rawoptics.io to place an order. And then pretty soon we'll have our new site, rawoptics.com, live. So that hopefully within a month, but I've been saying that for multiple months, and this is how business goes. You know, when you want something to be better, then you want to constantly be better and better, and all these things come up, but it's fun. And I've got a lot of work to do on myself and business, and so I'm excited for that. And gonna go get in the pool.
Man, it's all part of the journey, and thanks for coming on again, Matt. So let's tie this one in. So guys, hopefully you really enjoyed this talk. Hopefully if you've made it this far through the chat, it's good because it means that I didn't fuck up the editing too bad where it made it unlistenable. But yeah, hopefully I did a good job and managed to save this because we did run into a few little problems along the way. But yeah, really enjoyed it, Matt. And guys, hopefully you enjoyed it too. So let's call a quit to episode 16 of the Red Pill Initiation Hour. Guys, stay woke as fuck and I'll catch you next time. Let's get it. Peace out. Sweet.